This podcast is part of the Red 5 Network. For more Red 5 Network podcasts, visit red5network.com.
On this week's show, the Emmy nominations are in, The Lord of the Rings, Rings of Power releases a new trailer, and we talk about the future of the From a Certain Point of View podcast. Well, hello there, everybody, and welcome back. This is... I think actually episode 128, I think last week I said it was 128 and I lied or something like that. I don't know what episode we're on, but it's in the hundreds and it's way up there. So
yeah, I think you're,
you know,
I think it's,
I lost count. So, Adam, it is good to be back with you chatting this week.
And you also as well too.
Thank you. And how has your week been going? How was your weekend?
Busy. Yeah. You know, I've been working a lot. Actually, we've got overtime at work, so I've been working a good 50-hour weeks. Plus, you know, we talked a little earlier about, you know, I'm doing a pastoral preaching stuff at church. So that's been probably another. I agreed to 10 hours, but it's probably been 20.
So. Yeah, I'm sure.
But it's been good.
Especially getting into the swing of things, you know.
Yeah, yeah. But it's been good. It's been a good week. It's been a good few couple weeks doing that so far, and you know, just busy, but having a good time.
Excellent. I am glad to hear it.
How about you? What you put on?
Yeah, this weekend for us was just kind of a chill weekend. We just kind of hung out at home for the most part, for which we haven't done in a while. We've been pretty busy this summer, so it was nice to just take it down a notch, hang out at home. Yeah, so, you know, we just hung out. It was good, though. But why don't we dive into our recommendations, and I'll go ahead and start. And I'm just going to give my thoughts on Thor: Love and Thunder, because I don't know if I'm going to recommend it or not, actually. But I did go see it. Brittany and I went and saw it, I think on like Wednesday, maybe last week. And, you know, there were things I liked about it. There were a lot of funny moments. There was a lot of humor. There were definitely some storylines. I especially enjoyed like the Jane storyline, Jane and Thor and everything. And I enjoyed Christian Bale's performance as,
I've heard a lot of really good things. Yeah. About him. Yeah.
Yeah. He did a nice job and everything. But overall I didn't love it. I liked it, but I didn't love it. It was really, Brittany and I both looked at each other and we were kind of like, what was that? it was like overly silly. Like if you liked Ragnarok, like I loved Ragnarok, but I didn't really like this as much. I thought it was just kind of way over the top silly. Didn't take itself seriously. So I had a hard time taking it seriously. You know, I don't know if that makes sense or not.
No,
but
it does. In a lot of ways, that's how I felt about Ragnarok, so I understand how you're feeling there, so I might be in for a rough ride whenever I do get to watch it.
Yeah, I'm not sure if you would like it or not if you didn't like Ragnarok, because this is like even more over the top, like with the silliness and everything.
Right.
But yeah, I will probably wait until it comes out on Disney Plus to watch it again. Definitely not one I'm going to go back and see in the theater again. If you are really into, like, if you really loved Ragnarok and you're really into, like, I don't even know what to call this movie exactly, like the over the top Marvel comedy and craziness, then go for it. But yeah, but I might also wait for Disney Plus if you're on the fence about it.
Fair enough. Can I do two?
Sure.
I don't like.
I always do two, so you can do two.
All right, cool. We never really got a chance to talk or at least you and me, about Top Gun, but I saw Top Gun finally. I'm very far behind on movies. I haven't seen Doctor Strange yet, and it is on Disney Plus.
Oh, yeah.
But we finally got a chance to go out and see Top Gun, Denise and I, and mm-hmm. had a blast. Just loved it.
Yeah.
You know, I said to you, it's one of those... That's what happens when you have a great story and you pay homage to the characters that came before that made you popular. You had a great new supporting cast on it. There was zero agenda. It was just to tell a good story and have a good time. And, you know, that is how you continue a franchise or tell a story. That was well done. So,
absolutely. I thought it was a near perfect movie.
Yeah, I was just going to say dang near perfect for me too. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's probably the best movie I've seen mm-hmm. for me in the past couple of years, I would even say.
Yeah. Easily my favorite this year, and then, like you said, probably mm-hmm. my favorite that I've seen recently. So I like what they did with Val Kilmer. I like how they handled that.
Mm-hmm.
I actually didn't know all the stuff around, you know, surrounding him and
Me neither.
The troubles that he's had, and you know, all that stuff.
Right.
So I had to read about it and catch up on it after the movie. But they handled that really well, and you know, tip my hat to everyone involved in that movie, and glad I finally got to see it, and I highly recommend it if anyone out there hasn't yet. So.
Well, when we get to the box office report, we're going to find out that there are still people going to see it. So you're not alone in that. Cool. That is a fantastic movie. I agree. I echo everything you said.
Second one that I'm going to recommend is one we just watched with the family tonight. It's on Netflix. It's called The Sea Beast. The best way I can describe this is think How to Train Your Dragon mixed with Pirates of the Caribbean mixed with a little bit of Pinocchio.
Okay.
And also throw in John Smith from Pocahontas, and that's kind of what The Sea Beast is. We actually had a lot of fun. It's not great, but it's good family entertainment, you know. In a time
which can be hard to come by right now.
I was just going to say, I was just about to say, like, in a time where I'm getting increasingly more frustrated with Disney and their cartoons and animated stuff,
yeah,
this one was kind of a refreshing change of pace, and it was it was a good story and good characters, diverse set of characters without, you know, hammering that into your head every 13 mm-hmm. seconds. You know, but a really good set of characters. The voices on it were, you know, pretty good. Carl Urban's in there is a lead voice of Jacob. Jared Harris, who I actually really, really like, is Captain Crow. So really good performances. It looks nice. You know, it kind of has those vibes that I like I said, from Pirates of the Caribbean. So that kept me hanging on for most of it. And if you or if anyone out there is a fan of How to Train Your Dragon, it definitely has those vibes to it as well. So,
yeah, we like, I think, like all those movies you mentioned that it is comparable to or takes things from. And I'm always looking for movies to watch with Sydney, so I appreciate that recommendation.
Yeah, yeah.
And
there's a little bit of language in it. You know,
you'll have that.
I would say there's a little bit more language than in your standard Disney animated
mm-hmm.
film. You know, they do drop an A-bomb in there. And I think there was one other, you know, maybe like hell or damn or something.
Yeah. Good to know.
That's about the worst that it got.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, because I also echo your frustrations with animated Disney stuff that's been coming out recently, and I'm actually in an ongoing Facebook debate.
You got yourself into that one.
some stranger that I don't even know, and he's like trying to come at me from all these different angles with, you know, I don't know. I just don't have the time or energy for it. I just want to, you know, right? Watch something where I don't have to worry about it. But I will probably take that recommendation and sail with it. So
hey,
are you ready to head into the news for this week?
Do it.
every copy. Tomorrow morning, Spider-Man, page one, with a decent picture this time. Move Conway to page seven.
There's a problem with page
seven. I make it page eight and give him 10% off. Okay. I make it 5%.
That can't be done.
Get out of here!
So, the box office report is first up, and this is what we got going on here. Thor Love and Thunder says, coming from comingsoon.net, says they say it dropped a massive 68% in weekend number two, still earning $46 million over the weekend, which is a good amount. And it was enough to keep it on top of the charts, but this drop is comparable to other recent Marvel releases in their second weekends, like Multiverse of Madness dropped 67% in its second weekend, Black Widow 68%. Do you have any thoughts on that, Adam? Like, why the big second weekend drop? I mean, I know I have my own theory or theories about it, but
I would like to go back and see what the average second week drop was for Marvel before the pandemic and see where that falls, because I really just don't know. My thought is people will see it once and then they know that it's coming to Disney Plus in like 3 weeks, and then so they'll just won't go back to the theater. They'll just wait for it.
Exactly. Those are my thoughts exactly. I mean, because even for myself, you know, I used to find myself seeing movies maybe a couple times in the theaters if I really liked it. Now, generally, I don't do that. More so, I would just see it once and know, hey, it's coming out in 45 days or less on streaming, so I can wait, you know, to watch it again then at home. So I think that might have a good amount to do with it as well. But there are people showing up. That first week, the first weekend, opening weekends have been pretty big this summer for a lot of these movies. Let's go down kind of the list here. Where the Crawdads Sing earned $17 million in its opening week, which was ahead of the projected $9 to $10 million. It is a novel that has been turned into a film. That was Dalia Owens. And Brittany's actually currently reading that book, so she might make me go watch this movie. I don't know yet. but it made more than it was expected to.
Okay.
Minions, The Rise of Gru actually came in second at the box office this week, where the Crawdads Sing was third. It brought in, let's see, a three-day total of $26 million and a domestic gross of $262 million so far. Top Gun Maverick was number four still, and its total is now almost $618 million over 8 weeks domestically, and it's made, I think, $1.2 billion something worldwide. Top Gun Maverick is still going strong.
That's awesome. It deserves all of that.
Absolutely.
Did you say what percent Thor dropped off?
It was like around 68% or something like that.
Right about what Black Widow did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. But other than that, I don't see any other. It seems to be like the biggest drop-offs. I mean, I'm looking at a list on Box Office Mojo. It looks like the biggest second week drops list of 1 to 200. And Disney has like 7 on this list. And they're going to have 8 because,
you with know, Thor.
Like you said, Thor and Black Widow are both kind of there as right about the same.
I imagine it's got to be that Disney Plus thing, you know.
Yeah, no other Marvel movies on that list of 200 though.
Mm-hmm. So thanks for that information. Looking into that, Adam, I was curious about that myself. And next up, we're going to talk about the 2022 Emmy Award nominations that were revealed last week. And Succession leads the nominations. It has 25 nominations, followed by Ted Lasso, Apple's Ted Lasso, and HBO's The White Lotus, which each earned 20. Other series with double-digit nominations include, I'm going to mention Squid Game, Ozark, Stranger Things, here, Dope Sick, Euphoria. Pam and Tommy, Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. So there's a lot that had, you know, double digit nominations, but overall HBO led all nominations with a total of 108, edging out Netflix, which earned 105. So HBO and Netflix have the most nominations as far as the Emmys go. Let's see. Let's look at what's up for best drama series here. So we have Better Call Saul, Euphoria, Ozark, Severance, Squid Game, Stranger Things, Succession, and Yellowjackets. Now, the only two on here that I haven't watched at all would be Succession and Yellowjackets. And out of all these, it's hard to decide who might win this category because for me personally, like Stranger Things season 4 is my favorite of this group. But I feel like it could go to a show like Better Call Saul that's in its last season or Ozark that ended recently, you know, something like that. But it could also go to like Squid Game, which has the number one streaming hours on Netflix above Stranger Things. So you have any thoughts on best drama? Who might take that? Or who would you give it to?
I don't know. Not a clue.
I know you don't typically get too interested in these things, but
no,
know.
And a lot of it's because I don't stay up to date on a lot of those series. I have been watching Better Call Saul, and I have been enjoying that, and I did finish up Ozark. I would, as far as drama series though, I would have to give it the if it was me handing out an award, the Adam Awards, the Adamies, it would go to Stranger Things.
Yeah, same here. I don't think it'll actually win, but I that's who I'd give it to too.
Yeah.
I would like to see Laura Linney from Ozark get back Best Actress. I don't know if she's won yet or not. She might have. I'm not sure. But I think she does an outstanding job in Ozark, and if she hasn't won one yet for this, she deserves it, in my opinion. Let's see. And I think for me, I would like to see either Jason Bateman or Bob Odenkirk win for Best Actor. There's a whole other lot of categories. I'm not going to spend the time to talk about all of them or anything because there's just so many. But I do want to jump down to a few different things real quick. Best Limited Series. We have Dope Sick, The Dropout, Inventing Anna, Pam and Tommy, The White Lotus. I haven't watched The Dropout. I haven't watched Inventing Anna. I haven't watched Pam and Tommy. So really, I only watched Dope Sick and The White Lotus. And I think this should go to Dope Sick. Dope Sick is a great show about the opioid epidemic with Michael Keaton. And I think it's so well done and so informative.
Yeah, I'll have to give that a look. That's on Hulu, though, right?
It's on Hulu, yeah. Yeah. I'm just looking down and seeing if there's anything else I'd like to talk about, just because, you know, a lot of this stuff is, there's a good amount here that I haven't seen myself. So, yeah. But those are the Emmy nominations. I'm checking them out on HollywoodReporter.com, but there's a variety of places that you could check them out yourself. So, moving on from the Emmys, we have one more.
Before we get too far into the next thing, I'm digging more into those numbers. The top 500 greatest drop second week drop off movies of all time. There's only one pre pandemic Marvel movie on there, and that's Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Okay.
So that's the only most of the other Marvel movies from post-pandemic are in the top 500. So, but the only pre-pandemic one is Ant-Man and the Wasp. As you go a little farther down, you get into like Age of Ultron. Actually, Civil War is a little bit higher than that. It dropped off 59.5%. Age of Ultron was 59.4%. And Endgame is on here too in the top 800, and it was like 58. I want to.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's
it's
couple.
A long list.
There's a few things to consider. One thing to consider is how much it made in the first weekend. Because, of course, if it made a massive amount in its opening weekend, it's only bound to drop a decent amount. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Another thing to take into consideration, along with the Disney Plus factor, with the movie coming out, you know, relatively soon after its theatrical run, maybe people aren't digging this phase as much. You know, maybe people aren't liking these movies quite as much as, you know, the last phase, or you know, what have you. Yeah. That's a possibility too. Yeah, so I think there's some.
Avengers Endgame dropped off 58.7, and it's so there's that. I mean, I don't want to say that it's nothing, but I mean, like, because it seems like every Marvel movie, or Disney Marvel movie that's coming out the last few weeks is going through this. The last few months is going through this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So there's something to this. There's something going on. I think it is the Disney Plus factor. You know, but I mean, you're 7% of like $300 million. It's a lot of money, but you're talking like 7% to separate Thor from Endgame. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe like 8 to 10%. So I mean, or even Captain America, the Civil War, Captain America, Civil War. That's like 8% difference there. And like I said, that's a lot of money. But we're, you know, it's not unheard of for even some of the best Marvel movies to have gone through that. So,
For sure. Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know. We'll see how that continues to play out in the near future with Marvel releases and everything. And you can edit this part out if you want to, but I saw somewhere, I don't know if it was on Twitter or somewhere else, it says, go woke and go broke. Now, they're not exactly going broke, but maybe there's something to that.
Right.
Anyhow. Moving on to the Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power. This is still being called a teaser trailer, I guess.
Yeah, that was weird.
I mean, this is a, how long was this thing? Like 2.5 minutes. I don't know how it's just a teaser trailer, but I'm playing it right now and I need to stop playing it. Okay, there we go. So this show is coming out on September 2nd. So we got another what's being called a teaser trailer, a 2.5 minute teaser trailer. I guess it really does highlight
before it comes out.
Yeah, it highlights a lot of the characters and locations and some of what's going on with the story. But I guess because it doesn't reveal a lot of story elements yet, maybe that's why it's just a teaser still. But what were your thoughts on this one compared to like the first one that came out, for instance?
Yeah, I mean, I think this one's better. I still have concerns about this series, and but I think this one's better. It felt a little bit more Jackson-esque, I guess, in some fashions. You know, but I'm not gonna know for sure until I get to watch it. It didn't calm any of the fears I had before that much. It just, you know, made me say, okay, that looks okay. So we'll see what happens.
I think you're exercising a fair amount of skepticism, being a big Tolkien fan, and being close to the source material.
And there's some good stuff in there, you know. I really liked seeing the trees of Valinor. I'm guessing those are the trees of Valinor.
Yes, I did some research, and they are, yeah.
But yeah, I'm pretty sure, I mean, that has to be that. So it's cool seeing that stuff. I don't know how it fits into the Second Age story, but you know, so we'll have to see how that plays out.
Unless it's like a flashback type of thing or something.
Yeah, it could be a prologue type thing.
Yeah, a prologue type, yeah.
Fellowships. Yeah. I mean, I could see that. That would make sense. You know, so there's some questions there that I still have about, you know, things like that showing up. There's some other little questions that I have. You know, but overall, it looked okay. So I don't want to be one of the ones that says this is going to be a billion-dollar flop or whatever, because I don't really foresee that happening either. But you know, it helped me a little bit, but it didn't put any fears to rest. We'll say that.
Yeah. I actually did like a little reaction slash breakdown video, and I was, one of the things I said in that video, I was really curious to hear your thoughts, being a reader and everything of Tolkien. And I think I agree that this trailer is a much better trailer. I thought this is a well done trailer. Of course, you can have the best trailer in the world and still have a crappy show or a crappy movie. Yeah. But I thought this was really well done. I really liked the music. It felt more like you said, more like Peter Jackson's trilogy. It was epic in scale. Like some of the shots and the cinematography were really beautiful. I was really interested in some of the lore that kind of came up in this. And one thing this trailer did make me do was I finally dove into like the appendices of the Lord of the Rings trilogy. And I wanted to know some of this stuff and like, you know, like the trees of Valinor. And I wanted to know more about Numenor, which is going to be featured in this show. Some of the locations kind of looked like it could be Lothlorien or, Rivendell, but
yeah, you're definitely gonna get those Middle Earth locations in this. I would think anyway.
And they talked about here, one of the descriptions here from comingsoon.net says, from deep within the dwarf minds of the Misty Mountains to the high politics of the elven kingdom of Lindon and the humans' powerful Atlantis-like island Numenor, which will eventually converge on the creation of the powerful the rings of power. So I was interested in those locations and seeing characters like Galadriel, Elrond, a young Isildur, you know, because we know he eventually is the one who cuts the ring off of Sauron's hand. All this stuff was really interesting, and it made me. And so now, what I did was I went into the appendices. I did some research online. I got really curious. I started reading The Fellowship of the Ring. I purchased the audiobook with Andy Serkis as the narrator.
That's the one to go with.
So it really got me excited to at least dive back into all of this Middle Earth stuff, you know, which was cool.
Yeah. I mean, and I think the way you're doing it is probably a good way, because apparently they only have access to things like the appendices from Lord of the Rings. They aren't using things like the Silmarillion or, you know, History of Middle Earth, that type of stuff. They're using the appendices. So that might be the way to go if you're looking to get, you know, book information on that so that you're not diving. I mean, I still recommend at some point checking out Silmarillion and that type of stuff, but that's a very, 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 very deep dive into lore. I mean, like we're talking like Old Testament, dive into deep lore of Lord of the Rings stuff. Like,
The Old Testament and Lord of the Rings.
It really is. I mean, it starts it starts off with the creation and all that. And I mean, it's very interesting, and to see what Tolkien did to create this world and the history of it and the theology of it, really cool stuff. But maybe not needed for this show. And so maybe just checking out the appendices if you know, someone like you that has that interest in learning more about it beforehand. So,
and I'm really finding that I'm really enjoying his writing style. You know, like a lot of people don't like it. I don't want to say a lot of people, because this is one of the most renowned books ever made, but it's not for everybody.
No,
it's not necessarily easy reading, but I happen to find that I like his style of writing.
Yeah, it's not easy. I think the appendices might be a little bit easier to digest, and if you ever
it's more like historical in nature, you know, the way it's written, you know.
If you ever do decide to dive into other stuff, one of the recommendations I heard from actually from Andrew from another Red 5 podcast, Science Fictionary, and mentioned it's better done in small chunks, you know, like maybe like a chapter, instead of trying to start at page one and go to the last page, you know, it's like a read. It's better done in, you know, small chunks, in chapter here, chapter there, section here, section there, that type of thing. So
that makes sense.
Yeah
So hey, I'm at least excited to dig into the Second Age a bit and see what that's all about. I've always been interested in the creation of the rings and everything, and especially the, you know, the kind of the war I'm not sure, The Last Alliance, you know, that, that whole thing that we see in the prologue of, you know, Fellowship and everything.
Yep.
So hopefully they do it well. Hopefully they do it right. Hopefully it's not agenda driven. We kind of talked about that with Top Gun, how it didn't, but you know, didn't have an agenda really, just set out to tell a good story. And
yeah,
I hope that's what they do here, but we'll, I'll be waiting with bated breath. So,
and you know, kind of like what I said with the Seabees, there's nothing wrong with diversity or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I agree.
But in a series like this, that's not something that needs to be overtly hammered home, you know. I know me saying that's probably going to get us in trouble somewhere with someone, but I don't care.
yeah, I mean, we've reached that point now.
Well, I mean, yeah.
we're over 2 years in, I think.
But it's not something for the Lord of the Rings in this story to be calling attention to constantly. And that's the problem that I would have. That's the problem that I've had with some of the Disney stuff. It's been unnecessarily overt lately in some scenarios. Mm-hmm. And I think this will do just fine with a good diverse cast and just tell their story, you know?
Yeah, you can do the Top same exact that. Thing that
the Sea Beast
that
did
they're
that.
Trying to do.
Yeah.
With just making it about the characters, making it about the story. And that's what you focus on.
That's what
you
Top Gun.
And it naturally kind of just happens.
Top Gun did that. They, you know, they had a good cast, strong female character in that movie. It was just great. And it wasn't about because she was female. It was because her character was intriguing, well-written, and I wanted her to succeed. And that's, you know, that's what I want for this. So,
exactly. I'm 100% with you. And one of my favorite aspects of Lord of the Rings, at least in the movies, and I don't know how much this is, I know it's kind of already present from what I'm reading about. This is a story about various races of beings in Middle Earth. You know, you have hobbits, elves, dwarves, men, wizards, you know. And one of the main things I really enjoyed about Lord of the Rings was this whole conflict between the dwarves and the elves. But on this smaller scale of that big conflict, we had Legolas and Gimli who are trying to even though they're at odds at first, they find ways to become like the best of friends and everything. So I think that's even embedded in the story itself. So
it is. Yeah, and that's a strong theme in the Tolkien stories is, you know, finding that friendship, that common ground, that is the rock. You know, that Legolas and Gimli show that, but Frodo and Sam show that too. And I've talked about this before, but done better in the books simply because that's what Frodo kind of survives on is Sam, you know? And he doesn't send him away or any of this other stuff. There is, the ring does plant those, you know, seeds of I don't want to say jealousy, but like maybe doubt, you know, resentment, anger, overprotectiveness, that type of of the ring, that type of thing. But his friendship with Sam is always that one thing that grounds him. And then, you know, with Legolas and Gimli, the same thing. They go through maybe not quite the same thing, a different story, but same result, you know, where they, you know, meet each other and they are not on the same side. But towards the, as we go, they develop into that same friendship where, you know, they both need each other and continue that friendship far beyond those events. So.
Absolutely. And I'm all about those kind of themes and everything. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what it's coming up real soon. September 2nd is right around the corner and, I'm excited and skeptical and nervous about what we're going to see, but I hope it's good. So that is it for the news this week, and we're going to move on to our main segment on this week's show. Okay, so I remember us having the similar type of talk I don't know. About the time we decided we weren't just going to be a Star Wars podcast anymore, and we were going to do like the whole thing. We were going to talk about movies, TV, games, whatever. And so now we're at another stage of our journey together of, you know, where our podcast goes from here. I mean, we're both dads who have jobs, and you have a couple jobs right now and are very busy, and you know, life happens and it takes us in certain directions. So we're just here to talk to you guys about what the future of our podcast might look like. Adam, I'm assuming you maybe have some thoughts or things you wanted to share that are on your
mind. Yeah, I mean, this is mostly, you know, coming from me, you know, like Josh said, with, you know, multiple jobs and everything that's going on, you know, with that and surrounding that, and, you know, being, having a family and being a dad, and like Josh said, two jobs, both are actually pretty demanding right now. And then, you know, just life. I came to the realization that I can't do all of that and do this and edit this and, you know, do socials, all this other stuff that just takes up time, and I don't have a lot of that anymore. So for me, I came to you, we talked this out, you were awesome, super receptive about it, and I appreciate that from the bottom of my heart.
Absolutely.
But what we came to, and I don't want to jump the gun here, so I don't know if you have anything else to say before I say, you know, kind of what we're
no,
what
no,
we're
go ahead.
Okay. What we came to is that the audio portion of the podcast is going to come to a close. This is actually going to be our send off audio episode. And so going forward, you know, we're not going to have any more new audio shows. It just takes up too much time. You know, for every minute of this, we're adding more minutes on that we record. We're adding more minutes on top of that for editing and uploading and maintaining a website, maintaining socials and all this other stuff. So, you know, that just compounds for every minute that we record something like this. So it makes sense for me with where I'm at in my life to step away from the audio portion of this. But transitioning to you now, Josh, you know, from a certain point of view, doesn't have to die. And
that's right.
So,
yeah,
there you go.
I definitely plan on continuing it in some form. It might not be as consistent as, you know, we haven't been really consistent lately, but
no,
it won't be as consistent probably as like the weekly audio recordings that we would put out very consistently for the past couple of years. You know, I'm much more, I'm not going to say expert because I'm not, but I guess I have more experience for myself in the video and YouTube area than I do in the audio portion. Cause I wouldn't even know how to, I mean, I'm sure I could learn, but I don't even know how to like put an audio podcast out there. You know, and usually when we do the YouTube stuff, I take care of that part. So my plan is definitely to keep doing YouTube videos when I'm able to. And those could even include Adam with me as well, whenever he's available and has the time to do that. And you know, just to, you know, especially when like for the videos for me, when trailers come out or big news hits or, you know, things like that, I plan to put videos out when it's something I feel like talking about. And who knows, you might see some guests appear with me as well along the way. But yeah, make sure you stay tuned to our YouTube channel From a Certain Point of View, because that's where, you know, most, if not all of our content will land from now on. So yeah, is there anything I left out? Or
No, not at all. But I just wanted to say, like, it makes sense and for us to do it this way, I think. The YouTube portion of it is probably, especially, and we talked about doing some live shows, and I think that would be easier for both of us, too. You know, because there's no editing after that. It's just we do it, it's done, and it's out there, you know. So that's a very real option, you know, for us to do a few more of those. We haven't done that in a long time, where we had live shows. So it would be nice to do that, and it's easier for me, it's easier for you. And then, so like you said, You know, we'll be seeing more solo stuff from you, which I'm looking forward to, your solo stuff and the trailer reactions and, you know, stuff you, that you do with Brittany. I think that stuff is really cool, and I'm excited to see that happening. You know, but the for me to appear on a video is also much easier for me. So, and I feel bad because that means that you're the one doing the extra work.
I don't mind though. I really, for me, when it comes to editing, I think unless there's like major, like if I make a major error, yeah, I'm definitely gonna like do a retake or do an edit or something like that. But yeah. I'm not gonna try to eliminate all of my likes and ums and because there'd be too many to edit out. I'd do that all the time. there, I did another one. But there, yeah, you know, I enjoy doing the video portion, and it's not a ton of work for me. You know, it's not too much that I can't handle it. And if it becomes that, then yeah, if we want to talk, we'll just jump on to StreamYard or YouTube Live and do it and be done with it. So
yeah,
I think it makes sense.
Yeah, I think that's a very real option. I mean, I have this whole new studio. I got to show it off at some point. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I can't
get your money's worth out of that.
Yeah, I can't really quit and just go, you know, nowhere. So
right.
But I wanted to say a couple more things on this. And first of all, this podcast has helped me in so many different ways that I didn't foresee when we started this thing. It helped me be much more comfortable in front of a camera and in front of people. It helped me kind of develop, you know, a personality to use on a camera. And the interesting thing about this, and I don't even know if I told you this, but for me stepping into the pastor role, a lot of that was facilitated from this show. And that happened because the district superintendent for our district in our church, you know, heard the stuff that you and I had been doing and listened to that and knew, you know, how I spoke and how I handled myself, how we handled conversations together. And that's kind of what led to me being a candidate for this, you know.
I didn't know that. That is new information.
It was interesting. That's cool. So, you know, so this podcast served so many, this audio podcast served so many good things in my life. It you know, gave me a weekly chance to chat with you. And we did, you know, for a podcast to go for 2.5 years and be pretty much weekly the whole time, minus 1 or 2 weeks there. Mm-hmm. That doesn't happen often. I'm proud of that. You know,
yeah,
that,
me too.
That puts us into a category of podcasts that doesn't happen all the time. You know, mm-hmm. people will start podcasts, and then, you know, life is life, and it's hard to do this every week. It's hard to remember to do this every week. It's hard to find stuff to talk to about every week.
Yeah.
So we did something I think that's kind of rare, and that I'm proud of what we have done here with this audio podcast. And I'm glad that it's not, that the whole from a certain point of view thing isn't ending. You know, I'm glad that it continues in YouTube, in our Discord server, which is still just as active as it's ever been. The friends that we have met here doing this audio show, and you know, even being a part of Twitter, those people have really carried over into our Discord server, and those are real honest to God friends. It's not just internet friends. Those are people that mean a lot to me. And all mm-hmm. that came from us doing this audio show, you know, putting it out on the internet and thinking, you know, I thought maybe we would get, you know, our family would give us pity listens or whatever. And that was about it. You know, I just looked at some episode numbers, and even the last episode we did right before we took our break, I mean, that thing is up to like 60, 70 listens, which, you know, that's more than I ever expected us to get on a single episode.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
when I first started this show, I talked to Dan Zare from Coffee with Kenobi, and he asked, you know, what was my goal for this? And I said, you know, I think like a small community of like 20 to 30 people would be, you know, like not, like even above and beyond what I would hope for. And our Discord server is at like 67 people, 70 people. So,
awesome.
So I just wanted to say, you know, what I'm saying is thank you to you for doing this podcast, audio podcast with me. Thank you to everyone that listened, that supported us, that has been through us, been with us through thick and thin. And I'm glad that we can keep doing this just in a little bit of a different form.
Yeah, me too. You know, and I want to thank you, Adam, because, you know, I think it was, we started this in a place where we were kind of, could have been divided on something. You know, it kind of started with The Last Jedi but it ended up being something that kind of brought us together. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just a life lesson in itself, that there could be something that you think is definitely going to divide you with somebody. So something you might disagree about. But actually, if you just have a conversation about it, you can figure out that you can still be friends and that you can still have great conversations. And that's what we've done for a couple of years now, is have a lot of great conversations. And I've enjoyed it. It's been for me a weekly outlet. To just speak my mind about things, because, you know, sometimes I stay silent about things, you know, even if it's something as simple as TVs and movies that I enjoy and love. It's nice to just have that weekly conversation with you about that and get that out. So that's been great. And I want to thank you for all the time and energy and hours that you put into editing our audio podcast, because I did none of that. You did all of that, and that was amazing. And I thank you for all that you put into it.
So. I learned a lot. I mean, I had barely done any editing when we started this, so I learned a lot. I learned it on the fly, and it just, you know, going back to what you said about, you know, what we started this as, what it became. You know, we still don't agree on Last Jedi, you know, and
it's true.
You know, and that wasn't ever. And I don't think anybody thinks this, but that was never a gimmick. That wasn't why we, you know, that wasn't ever anything that we just said to start a podcast. That was for real. It, you know, we both have very different opinions on that movie. And, you know, we've agreed on a lot of stuff throughout these last 2.5 years of this audio show. We haven't agreed on some. And it didn't change anything. And I like, it's so very frustrating to see this world that's so divisive, and like you have to be on one side
or the other
of this. And if you're not, then you're nothing. You're less than, you don't even deserve to exist anymore. Like that's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And that,
I agree.
That has to stop. I don't know how that stops, but that has to stop. I mean, we talked earlier about, you know, diversity, and like we are all very, very different. And if you are only looking for something that you don't like about someone, you're going to find something in every single person, even the people that you think are your friends. You will find something about that person that you don't like. And then what do you do? You know, you have to have some room for grace in your life, and for letting people be who they are, even if it's not who you would be. So, you know, you and I think have done, we're great friends, and we have been ever since high school, even through Last Jedi, and that that continues, and nothing like that has to stop anybody from liking something else together, you know. Maybe we don't like Last Jedi together, but we do love Empire Strikes Back together.
This is true.
You know, so one of these things, if you're looking for one of those things to not like about someone, you'll find it every single time. And I just hope that what we have done here has been maybe a little bit of a reminder that that doesn't have to be that way.
Yeah, I would echo that and just say, you know, I hope that's something, if you're listening, if you've been a longtime listener, or if you just listened to a couple episodes, I hope that's something you got out of these conversations was, you know, that everybody has a right to their own point of view. And we can share our points of view and at the end of the day still call each other friends. And I think we all, as a whole, need to learn how to do that.
And maybe you don't call someone a friend. You know, maybe that person just isn't your friend, but
you can still be civil.
Still be civil. That person is still, you know, still has value. That person still can be something good, something special, even if it's not exactly what you would envision as good or special. So
I would agree. So, as Gandalf once said, one stage of our journey is over and another begins. So we'll see where it takes us.
Yep. Do we want to do one more sign off?
Everything we said today was true.
From a certain point of view.